politicians can speak 2 to 3 times, 4 times a day and every day, then debate and then lie and then talk and then lie every day, standing on tables and standing on people's furniture. Surely a preacher of the gospel has such great news. He can preach it 3 to 4 times a day as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. And I hope that you will join me in giving God the glory, the praise, and the honor for allowing us to even be here tonight. And to be able to proclaim his gospel and his holy word and to hear it. And in this day and time, it is crucial that people hear the word of God. For as we are finding out day in and day out, there are many preachers who claim to be preachers. One preacher admitted the other day he was not called. He volunteered. And I said, wow. Every true preacher that I know was called by God. And but anyway, he said he volunteered, and therein lies the problem. But be that as it may, we have preachers who are refusing to preach the word. And that is a tragedy. And we need that more than ever. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, to wrap up this extraordinarily powerful passage of scripture that really and truly I could stay on, and any good preacher could stay on for a whole 3 years. My oldest son, Daniel White the Fourth, I understand what he tried to do. He focused in on the hypocrisy proper in this passage. But when I read the passage, the entire chapter, the context again, I told him we have to go back. And every now and then, preachers have to do that. So if you would, look at verse 16. Here's the remedy, the offered remedy by God for all of us sinners. And in many ways, we're just like the Israelites, if not worse. For we're on this side of the cross and we're still messing up. God said, wash you. You want to get things right with me? Wash you, make you clean. Clean up. Wash yourself. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Please do not think foolishly that God does not see the evil you're doing. That's foolishness. So stop it before his eyes. And I assure you, my beloved, contrary to the false preaching of today, not until you stop your evil and turn away from your evil. I'm talking to the people of God now, people who claim to be Christians, people who are in the church. You can forget about God blessing your life anyhow. He didn't do it for the Israelites, and he's not going to do it for us. And contrary to the lie that Andy Stanley is telling the world, and I love Andy, he's Charles Stanley's son, but I believe that Charles Stanley wants me to tell Andy that's a lie, and he needs to knock it off. this lie that we don't partake in things that are said in the Old Testament, that the law does not apply to us, and silly talk like that, that we ought to unhitch from the Old Testament, is just a lie. Jesus fulfilled the law. Our trust is in Him, and so therefore, dear friends, we ought to obey God's Word, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I assure you, contrary to what the little cute preacher is saying to you today, that you can just sin and have yourself a boyfriend and a girlfriend and get drunk and high and party on Saturday night and fall off into the church choir box on Sunday morning and commit fornication and adultery on Sunday afternoon, you know, Sunday sex, and be a homosexual and be a homosexual married to a homosexual and sit up in the church. That's a lot of hell, Andy, and you know it. Your daddy did not teach you that. Excuse me. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. How can we read such a passage and then think that we can do evil inside the church? Christian ministers marrying homosexuals. Christian ministers not questioning people about their multiple divorces before they get married. Setting people up to ruin somebody else's life. Christian pastors who have old, ancient divorced people in singles groups. Got grown children. And got these old devils in the singles group with the young people. And then they got a ministry called Divorce Care, which is not a ministry. Pastors ought to be, one of the reasons why homosexuals don't have respect for marriage is because the church does not have respect for marriage. We have divorced pastors, and on and on and on we go. You say, well, preacher, I've never heard anything about that. I mean, that's because preachers are not telling you the truth. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Then God says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Understand what God is doing here. He is warning the people. Confess your sins. Repent. Turn from your evil ways. Stop doing the evil you're doing. Start doing good. If you do that, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You might have heard our president, the president of the United States, say today, I'm going to sign this paper and to put some heavy sanctions on individuals and the country of Iran. I am showing restraint about some evil things they have done. And if they want to talk and make this thing work in a diplomatic fashion, they would stop doing their evil and start doing good and respect us as they want to be respected. Stop blowing up ships. Stop blowing up our drones. Stop killing our CIA agents. And then we can talk. We can reason together. But if not, he made it very clear that there will be destruction in their country like the world has never seen. I bring that up to bring to you a modern day example of what God is saying here. If you turn from your evil ways, stop your evil before my eyes and start doing good, confess your sins, repent, let your little girlfriend go, bye bye, let your little boyfriend go, bye bye, say nope to Bo Peep, say nope to Sylvia, say no to your pornography watching, your KISS listening to, K-I-S-S, Kings and Satan Service, earphone hide a lot of evil, claim to be a child of God, but on your playlist, you never have Amazing Grace, you never have C.C. Winans, you got KISS and other wicked evil songs. Lay it aside, stop it, get it from before my eyes, get it out of your tent, repent, turn from your evil ways, and not only that, start doing good, do the right thing. And in the words of the president today, and you'll have a wonderful country, you got great potential, but if you don't and you keep on messing with us, in this case messing with God and doing your evil, you will be destroyed. If ye be willing and obedient, my, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel against me, God is saying, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And that is exactly what happened. The northern kingdom was destroyed, and so was the southern kingdom, because they refused to repent and they chose to rebel against God. And we have many, and I don't care if you like it or not, that's what's happening in the church today. The so-called black church and the so-called white church, the red church, the yellow church, makes no difference, the combined church, the mixed church, the lost souls of black folk and white folk, that's where we are. And we can try to look cute and pretty in our garb that we put on and go to church in today, but God is not pleased. The Lord is not pleased. And we need to do like the Israelites, learn from their failures and mistakes, as God told us to do in the New Testament, confess our sin and repent. Let's pray. Holy Father, God in heaven, we thank you for your love. But your love includes chastisement and rebuke. Not because you hate us, but because you do love us. But unfortunately, we're just as wicked as Christians, as the Israelites, and as teenagers and children who want to have their way, and they get mad at the parent, because the parent is supposed to do his job or her job and not let the child have his way. So we thank you for your love that will chastise us. that will cut off our blessings. And I know this is foreign to so many ears today who somehow believe that they can do anything they want to do in Christ and get away with it, and think that they're going to have fellowship with you and be blessed by you. And this is a sad, sad state of affairs, and it is a tragedy that so many preachers have messed up the minds of people to think that they can call themselves saved and do whatever they want to do. That is simply not the case. And so, Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are in your church. Lord, you know who belong to you, and you know who does not belong to you. And help us who name the name of Christ to confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us, Lord, of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us, and help us to apply your holy word to our lives. Help us to understand that those of us who have Jesus Christ living on the inside of us will be led to live holy lives, turn from our sinful and evil ways, and repent of our sins and start doing good. For you have many tools to use to help us to get to that place of living holy and sanctified, obedient lives. And we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for those tools and your chastisement, if necessary, to help us to understand that as we have been saved by your grace, does not mean that we can do whatever we want when we want to do it. That we have been bought with a price, and that you own us. And I know that many people don't like this word, but we are your servants, your slaves, and we need to do what you want us to do. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts, Lord, from this time together. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and his demons and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness, out of the hearts and minds, souls, spirits, and lives of the people who have that issue. And Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil, Lord, from this time. And we pray that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Save those who are lost, and revive those who are saved. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. George MacDonald said, if you will not now put that down. Put that down. All the way. Dr. George MacDonald said, if you will not determine to be pure, you will grow more and more impure. And he's basically saying that God will help you. Christ will do it in you. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, God will guide you to live a pure life. But you must make up your mind to live a godly and pure life. You need to understand that, because you are a free moral agent. That does not disappear, that does not go away when you trust Christ as Savior. God will help you, but God wants you to choose to do it. Now, God is helping me right now. God helped me to have these meetings and to preach His Word and to be here tonight. And if any good happens tonight, any lasting work comes to pass, it's going to be by the power of God. If a soul gets saved, if a Christian is encouraged, it is God helping me to do that. But I had to make up my mind. I had to make up my mind not to just go to sleep and take a nap, and to get myself in position to be here tonight. God is not going to make us live a holy and godly life. It is still our choice. But God will help us and give us the strength. And so today we continue looking at the Lord's command to put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Some people think that God is just going to do it all for them. But I want you to understand tonight that if you are doing evil, you're doing that, not God. You're choosing to do evil. You can choose to stop doing evil. And you can pray also and ask God to help you, and He will help you. But if you're doing evil tonight, if you're plotting and planning evil after this meeting tonight, that's you doing that. Is the devil tempting you? Yes. But if you are a child of God, God is also speaking to you, telling you not to do it, and showing you a way to escape. God shows us the way to escape. We have to choose whether or not we're going to take that way. So for those of you who are in sin tonight, in evil, in rebelliousness, in stubbornness, in lying and dishonesty and adultery and fornication and whoredom and bad attitudes and pride, that's you. And so, as someone said, you have to stir yourself to say, you know what, I'm not going to do this again. Another way that God will help you is that God will bring chastisement in your life. I have mentioned this before, and I'll say it again tonight. There are two great mountain peaks in my life. Number one, when I got saved, December the 19th, 1979. And then the second one is when God began to chastise me a long time ago as a young Christian about sin in my life and a sinful attitude where I wanted to help God. He had called me to be a full-time preacher, and I was resisting it and fighting it, and I wanted my independence, and I wanted to help God by working and doing something else. And no, He said, no, I don't want you to do that. And you need to understand that if you're going to serve me, it's going to be my way. So God will help you to understand that you need to forsake your evil. And through that chastisement, God taught me what he has taught so many, the fear of the Lord. When you have gotten to the point that you're confronted with temptation and evil, and you think, no, I better not do that because God's not going to be pleased, and he may put me back under chastisement and take away my blessings, and now you're getting somewhere. That's exactly where God wants you to be. And when he gets you to the point where you are thinking about the words that you're getting ready to say in anger, but you know that you're going to not only offend the person but offend him, then you're getting somewhere. It's called the fear of the Lord. We don't hear too much about it today. Respecting the Lord. Reverencing the Lord. You know what's wrong with our society today? One of the greatest sins in America today and in the world is disrespect. People who are under authority, who disrespect God, they disrespect Jesus, they disrespect the Holy Spirit of God, they disrespect the Word of God, and they disrespect the people of God that God places over them. That includes the police officers, the sheriff, the president, governors. There's no fear of God before people's eyes, and there's no fear or reverence or respect for anybody, therefore. Parents, don't you worry about a thing if you did your job. You raise up children who start disrespecting you and who are rebellious and think they're smarter than you, don't worry about it. If you did your job. Because they're not respecting you only. They're disrespecting Jesus. They're disrespecting God. They're disrespecting the Word of God. And God will deal with them. Just go ahead and release them as fast as you can. Let God deal with them. And so, beloved, the emphasis remains on deliberate action of the human beings involved. That's us. Where you make up your mind that I am not going to do this evil anymore. I am going to respect the only parent I have. I'm going to honor my parents. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm just not going to lie anymore with it, which is my default way of handling life, is to lie first. I don't care how painful it is to me, even if I have to go back 10, 15, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever, I'm going to tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may. For one thing for sure is that I will have a clear conscience before God and man. Even if they kill me, I will die with a clear conscience. No matter how much I love that woman and how fine she is and how good she makes me feel on Sunday afternoon, even though I know she's not my wife, I know I ought to obey Beyonce and put a ring on it, but I'm not ready to do all that. But I love drinking that milk, that free milk. Oh, I just love me some Bo Peep. I just melt when I hear him knock on the door. I can't resist him on Sunday afternoons. Yes, you can. Some of you adopted the saying that President Obama coined, yes, we can. Oh, well, if you can vote in a black man in America with the name Obama, then you can do almost anything. Yes, we can. Oh, yes, we can. We can stop doing evil. Yes, we can. Let's adopt that again. We can stop doing wrong. Yes, we can. We can choose to do good. Yes, we can, particularly those of us who are Christians. Yes, we can. Nobody wants to say that when it comes down to sin. The attitude and the mentality is, no, we can't. I can't stop doing this, man. Man, this is so hard. Man, I can't leave those drugs alone, man. I get so high, man, like I'm floating up to heaven. However, dear friends, if we are serious about repentance, we must practice, if you will, what Henry Ward Beecher called practical regeneration. And basically what he was pointing out, there is a spiritual regeneration for sure. But let's go ahead and stretch that out. Let's expand that to practical regeneration, where the spiritual regeneration of being born again is acted out. Because we are truly born again, because we have been regenerated through faith in Christ, through the shed blood of Christ. See, we're not talking about doing right and forsaking wrong, and you have not been born again. So I hope you understand that. You're wasting your time. We're talking about saved ones who the devil has planted in their minds that, no, I can't change. I can't stop having a nasty attitude towards my husband. I can't stop being a racist. I'm saved. I'm born again, but I just hate niggas. I'm saved. I'm born again, but I just hate crackers. I just can't stand them. No. I got news for you. Listen to me very carefully. Unless you are a very young Christian, you're not born again if you have that kind of hatred in your heart. If we are serious about repentance, we must practice what Henry Ward Beecher called practical regeneration. This 19th century preacher said, no man can tear himself away from temptations and evil influences without an adaptation of his life and will to the peculiar work which is required. Understanding that you must be born again first. Understanding that you have been regenerated on the inside spiritually. Shall a man attempt to change himself from evil to good and do it easily and thoughtlessly and carelessly? Callously is the question. Such a change never comes by accident nor by a little striving. Here is the simple fact of this whole subject. In our striving for virtue, sinful passions can be mastered, and they must be. They must be. If you are a child of God and if you want to be successful in the Christian life, they must be. We can take ourselves out of our constitutional faults, and if we have fallen under temptations and sins, it is possible for us to break the net and escape from them. Can somebody say amen? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, end of quote. And you must. And if you are a child of God and born again and you want to live, you will. Well, yeah, a whole lot of Christian folk are dying because they choose not to do what God has commanded them to do. Some have committed suicide. You say, preacher, where did they go? I don't know. I'm not on the bandwagon that says you commit suicide and you're going to heaven. That's some Judas stuff, man. I don't know. I'm not joining the theologians and the doctors who are putting suicide folk, people who commit suicide, into heaven. I am not joining them. I'm telling you, you better not do that. Because that's your last act. And that's a very stupid, sinful act. You say, preacher, how would this come about? The fear of the Lord. Respecting God. Respecting Jesus. Loving Jesus. See, right there, folks will say, well, see, I thought it was all about the love. It is all about the love. But if you love somebody, you're going to respect that person. Jesus said himself, if you love me, keep my commandments. Why call ye me Lord, Lord? I'm your Lord. I'm your master. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you? Amen, Jesus. You're a liar. You're a hypocrite. Your heart pumps peanut butter and the truth ain't in you. Now when the old saints would say that to you, that was a drop the mic moment. When they called you a liar back in the old days and told you that the truth is not even in you, you were in bad shape. The old lady sitting on the porch with the long skirts on would drop the mic. Bam! I'm through. So, ladies and gentlemen, we must never succumb. We must never succumb to the idea that we are helpless to the power of sin. Now, listen, let me break it down to you. I have one temptation. And I thank God I only have one. And that is with beautiful, fine women. There's nothing more beautiful on God's green earth. And every day, guess what I have to do? Because I love Jesus, because he first loved me. And because I fear God, and I'm very honest about it with God. I believe that I fear him more than I love him. And I know that's not how it should be, but I'm telling you, that's just the truth, man. You say, preacher, how did you get that way? Because God chastised me a long time ago, and it was a long time. Because you must understand that God is not in time. So this is why you don't want him to get started on you. So you might as well just learn from what I'm preaching you and obey him. Because once he gets started on you, and I know some of you people don't believe it. Because I didn't believe in this, you know, I can handle God's chastisement just as long as you don't chastise me. That was my attitude. But once God got a hold of me and started chastising me, buddy, I thought it would never end. And this is the testimony of every Christian who's been saved for a while. Every Christian. Because God can teach you better than he can show you. He can show you better than he can teach you better. I guess I should say. He can show you better than he can have somebody teach it to you. That was certainly the case with me. It's not only the chastisement, it's how long God does it. And so that put the fear of God in me. That put that respect in God with me. My wife will tell you this. My whole family will tell you this. I fear God. That's the only reason why I am still even in my family. And married to the same woman for over 32 years now. Is because I fear God. And here's the deal, though. Here's the deal. And by the way, I got a message for you homosexuals out there as well. I am tempted with these beautiful, fine women every day. But every day, by the grace of God, I've got to say no. My sons are in the car with me all the time. Almost. And I've talked with them about it. And I have told them over and over again, I have to say no to that. Say no to that temptation to go talk to that beautiful, fine woman or say something out of place. Stupid stuff like, you know, you're sure looking great today, I tell you. No. That'll get you in trouble. And I don't do it for one reason. Yes, I do love God. But I love him so much that I fear him. I respect him. I reverence him. And so I don't do that. That's not happening. I'm not even worried about that. No. You know, you're like, preacher, how can you say you're not worried? Certainly you're vulnerable to it like everybody else. No, I am tempted with it. I'm telling you the truth. But I ain't doing that, man, because that ain't going to work. That's not going to work. God's not going to bless that, man. And I like being blessed. I don't like being chastised. I'm not like some of you folks who love pain. No. So that means that if I can say no, all of you homosexuals who act like you can't say no, you can say no too. You know what you're doing is wrong because you have a conscience. You know what you're doing is wrong because you know the Bible speaks against it. But you want to lie and say you're born this way. I can say I'm born to commit fornication and adultery. How about that? Oh, no. That's what the homos, that's what the gays was. Oh, no, that's wrong. It's wrong. It's immoral. I get so tickled at these homosexuals, man. That's immoral. How dare you say that? I can't believe he got involved with another woman. Are you kidding me? And here you are, married to a man. I get so tickled. It's so ridiculous. And you know you're wrong. The people around you are telling you that you're wrong. You know on the inside that you're wrong. You know the Bible tells you that you're wrong. God told you that you're wrong. And now young people are telling you, yes, that's right, young people are starting to turn against the homosexual crowd. No, dear friend. I love Lady Gaga too, but she's wrong. You were not born that way. You're a lie, your feet ain't made, and your heart pumps peanut butter. I don't care if you're male or female. Now, do you have a propensity for some reason? You're being a man looking at another man, you got the same sex attraction, stuff like that, whatever. I never had it, so I don't know what it is. I don't see it. But I can tell you this, it is a sin. In fact, in God's eyes, it is an abomination. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to set you free. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. And you need to say no to that evil, just like I have to say no every day to the evil of getting involved with another beautiful woman. Because I know God's not going to bless me, and I got news for you. God's not going to bless your mess either. Yes, that's right. In a newspaper article this morning, millennials, 18 to 30-something, are saying no to the homosexual lifestyle, and they're saying no to gays. They're turning against them. At one time, they were so silly-minded, they went for it themselves, and not for the sin, but they, you know, supported the gays. But thank God, they're coming around. But that is so predictable. Because these people who allow themselves to be filled with this effeminate, homosexual, demonic spirit, they turn out to be very vindictive and very unreasonable. Come. God is saying to you homosexuals tonight, come now and let us reason together. No, you were not born that way, God will tell you. But because of sin coming down the pipe on both sides of your family and the evil that was done, yes, even by heterosexuals, men and women, and twisted up sex and violent sex and doing evil, nasty things. Yeah. Because of your ancestors, it has come down upon you and you have this weakness. You know it's wrong. But once you step off into it, it changes you. And makes you even more evil and more wicked and more vindictive and more stubborn, more hateful, more unreasonable. And that's the reason why these young folks are turning against them. Just reported today. When listen to me very carefully. It's one thing to deal with a woman spurned. But buddy, you don't want to deal with a homosexual spurned. No, sir. Just today it was reported a homosexual, they took a fireman's axe. Have you ever seen a fireman's axe? That's an axe, buddy. A fireman's axe, baseball bats, and a knife to kill somebody, one of their ex-lovers or whatever they say they call it. What am I saying? The other few months back, two homosexual women drove, two white homosexual women drove five black children over a cliff. When these people kill, buddy, this is a whole nother ball game. There's something demonic in that. You don't listen to me very carefully. You don't see, this is why, and right now we have presidents and other people afraid of this group. They don't say anything about, you know why? Because they know these people are some of the most hateful and vindictive people on earth. And then when they come after you, they are coming to destroy you. And they're afraid of it. Politicians are afraid of them. And Miss Warren, she was doing quite well, and now she's talking about, just last week, they had a hearing, and this is how it goes. They had a hearing for reparations for black people, for the people who, their ancestors were slaves. Zip, bam, boom, the next week, this is how it works. Miss Warren, we're going to give reparations to the gays. So, oh boy, here we go. From slaves to gays. Reparation. We're going to give them reparations to all the homosexuals who got married before and were not able to get certain rights and so forth and steal other people's babies and everything else. My whole point, folks, is this thing is getting out of hand, but my whole point, no matter what the sin is, once you trust Christ as Savior, you have the power to say no. Now, I've been saved for 40 years, but nothing turns me on, nothing tempts me like a well-built woman. I've been married for 33 years, and every day I have to say no. Every day I have to make sure I don't put myself in a situation like that that will cause me to fall. Because it won't be a stumble, it'll be a fall. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if that thought crosses your mind, you can be sure that the devil is speaking to you when you start saying, well, I just can't stop it. I can't. I'm born this way. We're all born sinners, man. And my temptation may not be yours. Your temptation, and if you are gay, certainly is not mine. But it's all temptation to do evil. And we're all born with certain weaknesses and propensities. There are some people born to be drug addicts. They have an interest in pills. They just have this strange pull, this like a magnet to pills and drugs. And there are some people who can drink a glass of wine and stop. There are thousands of folk who don't need to drink a drop of any kind of alcohol whatsoever, because they don't stop. They plow on through until they're falling out drunk. We all have our weaknesses and our temptations, man. Sins which so easily beset us. Some people have a nasty, demonic attitude. I mean, buddy, they're just born with it. And it stinks to low hell, and they know it, but they succumb to it. That's just the way I am. You just have to accept me the way I am, you liar. No, you need to change. I told some people, you don't need to get married with that attitude. Why would you put somebody else through hell? You're already tortured and going through hell. Why would you get married and put somebody else through hell? They got to sit there beside you with your mad, angry attitude and spirit. Are you kidding me? Stay yourself single. And I mean that. I told you that one of my psychology teachers told us over and over again, your job as parents is to make your children lovable. There's some people who just born with a nasty attitude and a nasty look on their face to boot, which shows the nasty attitude. They're not happy about nothing. Nothing makes them glad but evil. Some people are born with what I call pharaohistic pride, this dangerous pride where they get rebuked, they get chastised, they get warned, they straighten up for a day, and then one more night with the frogs. They got to have it. They got to go through one more night with the frog. That's Pharaoh's mess, man. You got to be crazy. God is warning you. Moses is warning you. God has already shown you he's not playing. And Moses came and, okay, now what's up, Pharaoh? What's up, man? hey. Okay. And Pharaoh looked up. Frogs coming out of the oven. Baked frog tonight. Frogs in the refrigerator. Frogs jumping out the sink. Coming through the faucet. Go to the bathroom. Frogs in the toilet. Frogs in the bed when you get in the bed. Beaten down, Pharaoh said. Moses, give me one more night with frogs. One more night. This is, to me, this is stupid. I thank God I was not born with that. I thank God I was not born with that, man. Danny B does not like pain. I don't want whatever we need to do to clean it up and to wash it up and to confess it and to repent, let's get it done and get these frogs up out of here. So through Christ, dear friends, who strengthens us, we can do all things, including turning away from our besetting sin, whatever it might be. I just can't let him go. He's so good to me. He's the best man I've ever had. What about your husband? Well, the thrill is gone, baby. But Bo Peep make me feel so good. I can't let that go. I can't. That's what you tell your girlfriend. I can't let it go. She makes me feel so wonderful. She makes me feel like I'm on cloud nine. Keep on living. You're going to be 6 feet under. Messing with God. And even in the prosperity gospel world, it's happening. People are dying like flies. Early. Because of sin. Refusing to repent. Hypocrites. Phonies. And fakes. obviously from the text, God has your number. He says, stop doing this evil before my eyes, thinking I don't see you. I mean, what are you doing? So, beloved, we must also never succumb to outward repentance without repentance of the heart. That is what the Lord commands when he says, for us to put away our evil from before his eyes. Some people will put away their evil from before the eyes of man. Their wife does not know. Their husband does not know. If you go to touch your spouse's phone and he or she raises a knife, there's a problem. There's something wrong. You ought not to be that touchy about your phone. And they lean against the counter with a knife up like this, I dare you to touch it. I dare you to touch it. There's something wrong. They're hiding something. They're covering up something. All of these spouses who have to go outside and sit in the heat on the porch in the evening time and talk to somebody. There's something wrong somewhere. Your spouse ought to be able to talk to whoever they're talking to in front of you. And not talk in code language either. A Christian ought not to be living a life that he or she has to hide stuff and lie about stuff and cover up stuff. A Christian ought to be transparent. Some people will put away their evil from before the eyes of man, but will carry on in secret sin. Hypocrites, phonies, and fakes. Some people reform so that they can fit in with a Christian culture. And down at the Culture Center Church, or the mega church in town, or the small church, or environment like the tares growing alongside the wheat. But they never truly repent. They don't repent in their hearts. For our repentance to be real, for us to truly cease our sin and from sin, we must repent, not only in our actions, but in our hearts. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. How about you, dear Christian friend? Johnson Oatman Jr. said, long have I wandered afar from my Lord. Now I'm coming home. How about it, dear Christian friend? Longing to be to his favor restored. Now I'm coming home. Tired of the world with its folly and sin, now I am coming home. Knowing the Savior will welcome me in, now I am coming home. Knowing my Savior can give me his rest, now I am coming home. Longing to anchor my soul on his breast, now I am coming home. How about you, dear Christian friend? Are you ready to come home? Are you ready to come home from the darkness of sin that you enjoy so much for a moment, but you feel so guilty 3 and 4 days afterwards? I'm talking to you. Because you are a true Christian, because you feel guilty about it. I'm not talking to you who can commit fornication and adultery and lie and steal and have a nasty attitude and be disrespectful to your husband and hateful to your wife and you're not bothered by it. You're lost and you're on your way to hell. You don't know Jesus. I'm talking to the person they send for 1 minute and be hurting for 3 or 4 days until they get it right. I'm talking to you. So, dear friend, if you are a Christian tonight, here are three things you need to do. Be honest with God. He already knows about it. Confess and repent of your own sins. You already know what they are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins and get back to their first love. Pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost at any cost and by any means necessary. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word and your preached word. And Holy Father God, as Christian believers, those of us who are bothered by sin in our lives, those of us who feel terribly guilty, and we hurt because of the broken fellowship with you and offending you so badly, Lord, we individually and collectively come to you tonight and we confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, help us to take heed to this message tonight and to realize and to accept the fact that we don't have to live in sin. We don't have to stay in sin. This is not something that controls us. For we are filled with your Holy Spirit and controlled by your Holy Spirit. And we can say no to that which is wrong and evil. And we can say yes to that which is good. Help us. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that. Break the band of wickedness and evil and sin in our lives through prayer and fasting and trusting in you, in Jesus, and through your holy word and by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, if you're with us tonight and you are not born again, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. You have broken God's Ten Commandments, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave. Our souls go to hell. Jesus Christ believed and preached. He believed that there is a hell, and he preached on hell more than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. And just because that offends you does not mean that is not true. You have to grow up and accept the fact that everything is not going to go the way you want it to go. And so you need to accept the fact also that you're on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. For Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place, and you should not want to go there. Maybe you were not aware of it, but now you are. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time. That includes you, no matter how much of a drunkard you might be, whether you are a fornicator or an adulterer, or you're a thief, a robber, a murderer, a homosexual, whatever you are. Whosoever means anybody at any time shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The question is tonight, are you ready? Are you willing to trust Christ as your Savior? That is the beginning point. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church or even be baptized to be saved. Just simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you shall be saved. If you're willing to trust Christ with all of your heart as your Savior tonight, pray with me what is called the sinner's prayer and mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by stealing, by dishonoring my parents, by disobeying my parents, by lusting after people and things, by taking your holy name in vain, and many other sins. Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon my soul tonight. And please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe in you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. I believe with all of my heart that you suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my old evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you so that you will grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. We love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.